Good morning, everyone, and welcome again out into the Australian bush. It's a nice day out, and the birds are pretty happy with their morning song. My guess is you'll probably hear them as they get wound up. Today, I want to return to a verse that we looked at last week. As you recall, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that chapter contains one of the most interesting verses for the Christian life. Actually, it's one of my favorite verses. So go with me over to verse number 17, and let's read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is a far-reaching verse of Scripture. When you're in Christ, or that means when you become a real Christian, well, things change. They honestly do change. In some people, you can see a dramatic change. And I would like to challenge you, if you didn't experience any change in your life whenever you said you came to Christ, then I would invite you to go and revisit that time and make sure you were dead set serious when you were trusting Christ, because according to Paul, inspired by God in the Bible, when you get saved, things change. Paul said, when we come to Jesus, we are brand new. The old desires, the old passions that used to dominate us, they can no longer dominate us. They're no longer in control. Everything is new. Now let's look a little deeper at this wonderful life. And today we're going to look at a few things that Paul wrote in this particular chapter of the Bible that I think we can find really, really interesting. And I'm going to share with you something that, quite frankly, I've never seen before. So I'm excited to share that with you. But first let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the new life that's in Jesus Christ. Now help us to explore that, Father, to where we can better engage with what you want us to be in Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So just what is different when we get saved? Well, many talk about we now have a future heaven, or we're forgiven, but that's for the future. But what about today? What has changed right now after you got saved? Well, the first thing is, I believe, is you have a new motivation. And we talked about this last week. What is it that now motivates you? Could it be self-will, or maybe tenacity? Or maybe it's even your personal talents or your gifts. Well, according to Paul, as a Christian, we should have one thing that motivates us in verse number 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all die. It's the love of Christ that will compel us. Now look at that. Compel is a very strong, powerful word. It's the love of Christ that should motivate us, should push us, and cause us to do what we do. Is it the love of Jesus that motivates you? Have you honestly fallen in love with Jesus, or is he still just some guy who lived in history? Well, why was the love of Jesus so powerful in the life of Paul? Well, let's look at it. Before he met Jesus, Paul was a very strong, self-willed Jewish Pharisee. He was well-educated. He could speak several languages. He was highly respected in the community. He had attained the highest level that he could possibly attain in his Jewish faith. He was the best of the best of the best. He couldn't get any higher. He had it together as far as the life he was living. And He also was well known for his personal attacks on Christians, throwing them into prison. The Bible says that he was breathing out threats and murder towards the Christians. That's pretty harsh. He hated the Christians. He wanted to get rid of this Jewish sect, and he was passionate about these people. He's passionate about getting rid of these people who call themselves Christians. Then God brought him to the end of himself. Let me say that again. God brought this very strong, self-willed Jewish Pharisee to the end of himself. God does that, you know. God stopped Paul dead in his tracks. Listen, by blinding him. This strong-willed, self-motivated Pharisee was in an instant turned into a helpless man who could have very possibly ended up a beggar. They didn't have any social services in those days. So if you couldn't work, there wasn't much for you. And during that time, Jesus confronted Paul and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" You see, Paul was throwing Christians into jail. And that's persecuting Jesus, because Christians are in the body of Christ. Paul had an idea who it was. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" For the next 3 days, Paul had to be led around by the hand. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He was a very confused and broken man. Listen, God will do that if it's necessary to get your attention. After 3 long days of brokenness, Paul is finally visited by a man who finally agreed to go visit him. See, Paul's reputation for persecuting and killing Christians had preceded him. But there was one man who agreed to follow God's leading and go visit and talk to Paul. As he prayed for Paul, God healed him, miraculously healed him. Paul goes off to Arabia for 3 years to get his head on straight. And he comes back just as passionate as he was before, but this time he's passionate for Jesus and not against him. So what motivated his passion? Well, before, it was to destroy Christians. Now, he's motivated by the love of Christ. Remember, he said, "The love of Christ constrains me," or it drives me. So when you get saved, one of the things that changed is you will have something new that drives you, and that is the love of Jesus. But there's another thing that changed as well. Look at verse number 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." From now on, we no longer look at people with eyes of flesh. Well, what does that mean? Well, Paul explained. He wrote, he once looked at Jesus through the human eyes and saw him as a troublemaker and just a man who wanted to stir up the people. But now he sees him as the Son of God and Jesus and Lord. You and I are to do the same thing when we look at people. You see, we are to see them through our new spirit eyes. What that means is we look at everybody differently, even those you disagree with. You see, before we got saved, we look at people as white or black, rich or poor. We maybe see them as gay or straight, or nice or not so nice. We may even look at them as Christian or Muslim or Hindu or even atheist. And come on now, we judge them accordingly, don't we? But as Christians, we're supposed to see everyone, even those we disagree with, as people that God loves and Jesus died for. Let me say it again. As Christians, we're supposed to see every person as someone that God loves and Jesus died for. Listen, if we see people as people that God loved and Jesus died for, then every effort, every struggle, every dollar, every minute, every hour that we can invest into sharing the love of Jesus and the gospel with these people is worth it. Nothing is outside of the perspective of reaching these people for Jesus. That's what we do when we see them as people that God loves and people that Jesus died for. Every person is worth the effort. That's the new perspective that we should have. I hope you realize that this one thing can revolutionize your life. But there is one more thing that has changed. Let's look at verses 18 through 19. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let me break that down. Through Jesus, God reconciled us, or he stamped our sin debt paid in full. Aren't you glad of that? He bought us back from destruction. Remember, the Bible says, as in Adam all die, we were dead. But he goes on to say, in Christ we shall be made alive. And that's what this regeneration or reconciliation does, is brings us back to life. You see, God did his part in reconciling us through Jesus. Now he's given us the responsibility to carry that to other people. Did you catch that? That's huge. Our responsibility is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need to be reconciled, and that's everyone that is yet to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's our job, our God-given job. That's why we are saved. Listen, if we don't do it, God didn't give that responsibility to anyone else. That's why Paul writes in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. But notice his urgency. God is pleading through us. He imploring you on Christ's behalf. The urgency and the passion with which Jesus presented himself and the apostles presented Jesus has now been given to us to earnestly plead with others to be reconciled with God through Jesus. That's our responsibility. So how do we do this? Well, let's review what we've looked at. First, we must be motivated by the all-consuming love of Jesus Christ. That is so important, or you won't do it. Secondly, we must have a new perspective. We must look at everyone on the street, in the supermarket, or wherever we go, not through human eyes to see that they're rich or poor or whatever, but see them as people that God desperately loved and that Jesus died for, and God is going to plead with them to be reconciled through Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we need to take our responsibility seriously. We are ambassadors for Jesus. That means we are his representatives. He doesn't have any others. Only Christians. It's our responsibility. So what are we doing with it? I mean, just really ask yourself that question. What are we doing that with it? How many people have you led to Jesus Christ? Think about that. I think it's time that we go on and do something with our responsibility. Don't you? Father, I thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this challenge from Paul. Help us to be motivated by the love of Jesus. When we're motivated by that deep, passionate love of Jesus, nothing else can stand in the way. Help us to be motivated by that. Then help us to see people through spiritual eyes. Help us to see them as people who need Jesus. And thirdly, help us to take our responsibility of reconciling the world back to Christ. Help us to take it seriously and get on with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.